Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, Matthew chapter 4, and Luke chapter 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, Matthew chapter 4, and Luke 22. Before I read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, this thought from Dr. Larry Emery, it was in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. We need the strength of God to do the will of God for the glory of God. Can I tell you this, that the Covenant Baptist Church is here for the glory of God, and that we should desire to do the will of God? And to do so, we need the strength of God. And I believe it's important that we as believers are willing to follow the Scriptures, that we're willing to pray, that we are willing to attend the house of God. But if you would, let's stand together. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again as a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your hand of blessing upon these that are gathered together. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus himself is here. And Lord, we just pray that the word said could bring honor and glory to our Lord. Help us, Lord, to serve you faithfully until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And as you're sitting down, please turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 12. That the trial of your faith, we've been here 6 weeks already, this is our seventh week. We'll be talking about Peter, the author of 1 Peter, and the fact that he would have his faith put to the test. But verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. Now when Jesus had heard that John, that being John the Baptist, was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. In verse 12, John the Baptist has been imprisoned for proclaiming the truth of God, of the Word of God. And may I say this, down through the ages, there have been those who have hated the Word of God. And I can say in 2020, there are those who hate the Word of God. They hate the fact that we are gathered here today and that we are looking into our Bibles and that we are reading what the Word of God has to say, and they are bothered by it. And I don't know, maybe there's even someone even in our room today that is bothered by the Word of God. And so John the Baptist has been imprisoned. What will happen to John the Baptist? Well, you know the story. They will remove his head. They will remove his head. And he's not the only one who has died for the faith, martyred because of their belief. We find in verse 16, it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, spiritual darkness. I'm going to tell you this, we live in a world of spiritual darkness right now. We live in a world where evolution is proclaimed as truth. It's nothing but a lie. It's a bad theory. Well, we live in a world where family values are mocked. We live in a world where integrity is looked on as something that someone else should do, but the fact of the matter is we ought to be people of integrity. We need to shine forth the light because the Lord said that we are the light of the world. Well, who really is the light? Jesus, what are we to do? We're to reflect it. We're to reflect that light. Because we live in a world that is in spiritual darkness. And we need to stand up for the cause of Christ. We find in verse 17, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus said, repent. The Apostle Paul said, repent. Down through the years, preachers have proclaimed the need to repent. Unfortunately, we become comfortable in sin. Just like a pig in slop. We need to be those who fight against sin. Repent. Oh, and the fighting needs to begin within us. Jesus said to Peter and his brother, follow me. And then in verse 20 it says, and they followed him. How many willingly follow the Lord for a while? A week? A month? 6 months? A year? Maybe a dozen years. But then, as written in Matthew 13:21, because they have no root, they endure only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. How many become offended by the word? I told our Sunday school class that being a born-again believer is uncomfortable because it makes us live a life different than what society is telling us we should live. Then in Matthew 13:22, it says that we find that there's the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and thus he becometh unfruitful. When our faith is put to the test, how will we do? Again, the thought from Dr. Larry Emery, we need the strength of God to do the will of God for the glory of God. Peter was privileged to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ for over 3 years. Brother, what I think that would be just amazing to know when you woke up in the morning, you're going to be with Jesus again. To see the things that he did, because for over 3.5 years, he saw the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the miracles that he was able to see? From the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, to seeing Jesus walk on the water, to the healing of those that were blind and those that were deaf and those that were lame and those that had issues with other things. And for 3+ years, he listened to the words of Jesus. Now, I went to the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas. When my dad attended the Bible Baptist Seminary, it was in Fort Worth, Texas, and they later were to move into Tarrant County, and they were on the highest point in Tarrant County. It had once been a gambling hall. And people would go there because it was a casino, and they would have alcohol, and it was against the law. And when I worked as one of the people on campus, I actually walked through the tunnel that led to the outside where the people would escape when the police came. And it was very interesting. But one of the things that I remember is some of the teachers that I had at the Bible Baptist Seminary. Do you remember being in college and there were certain teachers you liked? Or in high school, do you remember there were certain teachers you liked and certain that you didn't like? Can I give you an example? I had a teacher at Stevenson High School, and I know that some of you that went to Stevenson had her also, and I disliked her so much that when she said in one of our classes that I guarantee you'll drink coffee while you're in college, that I determined right then I would never drink coffee while I was in college. I disliked her that much. She was a communist plus, and I won't go down the line. I mean, you know, I don't think she should have been teaching young people, but she did. But the fact of the matter is, there are teachers I didn't like and there were teachers I did like. Can you imagine listening to Jesus Christ talk for over 3 years? To hear his love, to listen to him as he talked about the love of God. Wouldn't that have been a great thing to do? For over 3.5 years, Peter was in this position of great blessing. And yet when his faith was put to the test, he failed miserably. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 31. And see, some of you have been privileged to grow up in a home that was God-honoring. Some of you had the privilege of going to a church your whole life. And maybe it was this church. Some of you were privileged to have the Word of God available your whole life. And some of you haven't been that privileged, but now you have the opportunity to serve the Lord faithfully. And all of us will be put to the test over and over again. Beginning at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he, Peter, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Thou shalt deny me 3 times. Do you think that should have put Simon Peter on guard? Do you think that should have told Simon, maybe there's some things in my life I need to change? You think that's a terrible thing to deny Christ? It is. And here Peter has walked with Jesus for over 3 years, and he's saying, I would die with you, Lord. Be on guard. Be on guard. It said here, Satan hath desired to have you. Can I say this to you? He wants you. Satan wants you. He wants to bring you down. Do you understand? Is there any, do I have to elaborate on that? He wants you. Does he want me? Absolutely. How many times have I said, pray for me? Dozens. I'm going to add it one more time. Pray for me. Pray for my wife. She has to put up with me. He wants us. I'm not just saying that as a filler. He wants us. Verse 39. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Now, we'll continue reading in a moment, but in your mind's eye, do you see Jesus with his disciples? How many of his disciples? That's not a trick question. 11. Where's Judas? He's gone to betray Christ, correct? He's about a stone's throw. How far can you throw a stone? I thought about bringing in a stone and throwing it. Then I figured I'd hit the clock back there and it'd break and then you'd all fuss at me. So how far do you think I can throw a stone? To the back of the building? Not that far? 50 feet? 150 feet? Okay. I'm not going to do it outside afterwards, but okay. Let's say 100 to 150 feet. Okay. He's over there. The disciples have been asked to do what? Pray. What have we been asked to do? Pray. Yes. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus is saying to the Heavenly Father, if there is any other way that mankind can be saved, do it. Well, which of you want to be scourged? Have your hair pulled from your head? That wants to be nailed to a cross? No. Jesus knew what that entailed. He knew that he was going to have to bear our sins on the cross. See, that's why the Lord tells us that if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, we will suffer the wrath of God, because God himself died for us, that we could have salvation. There is no other way into heaven but through Jesus Christ. He was willing to die. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was in agony. Now you say, well, why was he in agony? Because he was bearing the sins of Donna Derringe Madonna. Yes. He was bearing the sins of Rudy Ferris. He was bearing your sins. Isn't it hard enough bearing your own sins? Let alone all the sins of people? He was in agony. He saw it coming. He knew what was around the corner. He knew Judas was coming just down the road. He knew it. And yet while he was on the cross, everybody was excited because salvation was around the corner. Right? No, they mocked him. They said, if you're the Son of God, come down. He knew that was coming. He knew it. The pain, the agony. And an angel came to strengthen him, to encourage him. Verse 45. And when he rose up from prayer and one and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Schofield writes concerning Peter, quote, Peter was sleeping while his master was praying, resisting while his master was submitting. He followed afar off, sat down amongst his Lord's enemies, and denied his Lord, the faith, and the brotherhood. Unquote. Some of the saddest words in scriptures are found in verses 47 through 61. Judas betrays him with a kiss. Let's begin reading at verse 54. Then took they him, Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Now let's stop reading there for a moment. Shouldn't there have been light shining? Shouldn't something have said, Peter, Peter, what are you doing? What did he say? You were going to deny me thrice? And he's already denied him how many times? Twice. A maid. He was afraid of a young woman. Now, I don't know if this young woman had seen him at some point in time walking with Jesus, but she says he's one of them, and he denies it. And now a second person says he's one of them. Let me ask you this. What if tomorrow at work they said, you're one of those Jesus followers? What would you say? Would you say, you're right, thank you? Or would you say, no, you got the wrong guy? In one of the Gospels, do you remember Peter off? It says that he cussed just to show, no, I'm just as worldly as you are. His faith is being put to the test, and he's failing miserably. Let's continue reading verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61. And the Lord turned, looked upon Peter. And the Lord turned. At that very moment, at that very instant in time, somehow where Jesus was and where Peter was, nothing was in between them. So that he was able to have a direct look at Peter and Peter at him. Verse 61 continues, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept what? Bitterly. I'll be the first to tell you as you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm the first to tell you that I can watch a movie and cry. Now go ahead, say I'm a wimp. Go ahead. Last night, Don and I were watching a movie, and you know, I just try to cover up sometimes, and she knows I'm over there crying. just simply the way it is. There are certain people I don't look at if I'm talking about something a little bit tender, because they're probably crying, and then I don't want to start crying because then I look goofy up here. And Peter wept what? Bitterly. He was hurt. He knew he had done wrong. He knew that he had told Jesus, I will be with you no matter what, and he ran as a coward. And now he had wept bitterly. I don't believe Peter ever forgot that awful night. I don't think he ever forgot. Let's see what he writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We need the strength of God to do the will of God for the glory of God. And back to our text, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down. I don't think Peter ever forgot that awful night. And he was willing to make a stand for his Lord the rest of his life. I hope that we are never put into that same testing point where we have to choose to follow Christ, even if it might cost us our lives. But may I say this? That if we die for Christ, it brings honor and glory and praise to his holy name. If we die for Christ, yet how many of us are really not even willing to live for Christ without the fear of death? That we'll give Christ something, but not all. When your faith is put to the test, how will we be judged? Shall we stand together? 381, Jesus is calling, desiring us to follow him, to remain faithful. But the decision is ours. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. May the Spirit move and touch hearts. Lord, if there is one that doesn't know thee as Savior, may they come even today and accept that gift that is given to them through Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.